Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Tim Stenovec on Bloomberg Radio.
All right, everybody, here's how it's supposed to go. You work hard, you save, you pay your Social Security and your Medicare taxes, and yes, you retire. Hopefully enjoying some great time during those golden years, Tim.
Yeah, maybe you travel, spend time with family, relax, not worry about whether or not you're going to outlive your savings. But Carol, we know that's actually not the reality for many Americans. In fact, as you and I talked about back in January, younger generations are having a hard time even imagining retiring. A recent TIA Institute survey said that roughly 21% of Americans ages 22 to 34 said retirement is out of reach or not even part of their plan.
Which is pretty remarkable. Probably not all that surprising to our next guest, who writes that our society has largely given up on the idea that a dignified retirement should be the right of every worker in our affluent nation.
Teresa Ghilarducci is a professor of economics at the New School. She's also the author of the new book, Work, Retire, Repeat, The Uncertainty of Retirement in the New Economy. She joins us from New York. Professor, good to have you with us. Congratulations on the new book. Lay it out for us. In this day and age, just how bad is it out there for retirees and people who are working their way toward retirement?
Yeah, I'm glad to talk about it as a big societal problem, because I think right now almost everybody thinks it's bad for them, but doesn't realize how bad it is for their friends, because not being prepared for retirement is often the source of shame. And you don't wear it on your sleeve, you don't have your number on your chest. And so people are really swallowing their fear. And that's because most people should have, about $1 million dollars in their retirement accounts when they're approaching retirement. And most people don't have anywhere near that. And if I give you averages, it won't even tell the picture, because Elon Musk is among our midst. And if, he walked into my house, I'd be the richest person, ever. On average, but the typical person really can be described by medians. And so people in the bottom half of the earnings distribution in households are about ready to retire. This is from 54 to 64. The bottom half have nothing. The next 40%, our middle class, have about $200,000, and they should have over $1 million. And people even in the top 10%, they should have maybe $3-4 million to supplement Social Security and keep their lifestyle in retirement. I'm not going to cry out, alligator tears for them, but even they're worried. They have about $1 million. So everybody across the board, doesn't have enough, but the bottom 90% are headed towards really retirement, just depending upon Social Security.
But here's the thing.
So that's bad.
This is something that everybody should care about. I think people would argue this is something that everybody should care about, because who pays for the folks who don't have enough to retire? What's the societal impact of something like that?
The federal government should care.
What's the stress on our system when that happens?
Yeah. So let me just talk to the adult children, who are listening. The adult children who are 40 and 50, my new research is showing that a third of those adult children are straining in some way to take care of their elders. Even if their elders, have a pension, there's no long-term care insurance. So what happened is that we're reproducing this retirement crisis. It is reproducing itself, because those daughters and daughter-in-laws, sons and sons-in-laws are either reducing their work effort, reducing their savings, and we're seeing people actually take money out of their retirement to help their aging boomer parents.
Teresa, how did we get there? I'm thinking about, you know, my dad who fought in World War II. There was VA benefits. Mm-hmm. There was a company that he worked for 50 years or close to it, that there was a pension. There were investments because of 401ks and so on and so forth. Yeah. You know, starting, there were Social Security benefits. Where did the system start to come undone in that we are kind of now talking about this problem, that this is where we are today?
Yeah, I mean, there was kind of a golden age of pensions for a group of society, you know, men who kept their jobs for a while. That's for sure. They had defined benefit plans, and mainly their wages kept up with their productivity, you know, with the rest of the economy. And then women who were working, you know, starting around the 1940s, 50s, 60s, they earned wages that kept up with their productivity. They got more educated. Non-white workers really became enfranchised in the labor market. And even though not everybody was in a union, not even by, you know, by any stretch of the imagination, the pensions that they negotiated were defined benefit pensions. I mean, you saw them in the private sector and the public sector, and even the companies that weren't unionized, that kind of kept up with the leaders in their industries. So we had a layered system: Social Security, defined benefit plans, and wages, you know, that kept savings up. It all fell apart around the 80s, you know, when Ronald Reagan attacked the labor movement, you know, by firing all the air traffic controllers. That had the structural problem of kind of slowing down wage growth, and wages really fell behind productivity, fell behind the, you know, the growth of the economy. So that really hurt savings. We had a lot of debt creating institutions, kind of overwhelmed our wealth creating institutions, you know, with very little down for our houses. And if we had any home equity, we would take, you know, home equity loans. But in the retirement space, we had the decline of these traditional pensions and a pretend replacement of those pensions with 401ks. Mm. Yeah, it's not even to even. And the 401k was supposed to be easy and really attractive to employers, and it was supposed to spread across the whole economy. But, you know, 50% of the population had a defined benefit plan. Those got replaced by the inferior 401k system, inferior in like three dimensions. And the people who had nothing still have nothing. And so we've had a 40-year experiment with these kind of do-it-yourself retirement plans. They're voluntary for the employer, voluntary for the worker. The worker has to take all the risk of choosing the right investments. And then when they retire, it's really up to the stock market. Depends whether or not they can make it last.
So we haven't even talked about much about Social Security. I don't necessarily want to get to that right now. We don't have time, Professor. But I want to know about the answer here. What's a solution to the problem that you outlined?
Yeah. Well, you know, the book spends a lot of time on the fake solution, which is to work longer. Mm-hmm. It's just obvious that most people don't have jobs where their employers want them to work longer, or they have jobs that will actually keep up their health, you know, and their ability to do the work productively. And also, most people are pushed out of their jobs, you know, either their health, or they're just pushed out, or they're laid off, you know, before they want to retire. So working longer is a fake solution. The real solution is bold. It's a lot different than tweaking the tax breaks here and there and incenting small employers to have a pension, since they can't really afford much of anything. Especially if it's voluntary, they're not going to take on that liability. We really need to have a layer of retirement accounts on top of Social Security. And everybody who works, whether it's for Grubhub or Uber or Delta Airlines, you know, just for 5 years, when they leave that good employer, or they're working contingent and platform work, they should be saving alongside of the of their Social Security. So I advocate a universal pension system. There's a bill in Congress called the Retirement Security Savings Act for All Americans. And the best thing about this is that it's bipartisan. Hmm. A conservative Republican and a moderate liberal Democrat supported in the Senate, and the same thing in the House. And I think lawmakers are just hearing from their constituents everywhere they go about this palpable fear of what will happen to them or their parents, you know, or their future selves, that this may be the year when nothing else passes, this kind of sensible universal pension system may pass.
Fingers crossed. A
big sigh. That was
we've kind of had a doomsday. Sigh, you know, Tim and I are going to change our names to Gloom and Doom.
Because we've
just kind of had a bunch of stories today that are along that front. But listen, really constructive conversation about what is going on and maybe our way forward to a better outcome. Teresa, thank you so much. Hopefully we can check back with you down the road. Teresa Gilarducci, she's professor of economics at the New School, author of a new book, Work, Retire, Repeat, The Uncertainty of Retirement in the New Economy, joining us here in New York. I think about this a lot, though, and I wonder, you know, even if we got something passed, it's going to be a lost generation or a couple of generations until we can get a system maybe going.
Well, Bloomberg has done a lot of reporting about Gen X and caring for boomer parents, which I think is a big deal, and it's going to get even bigger soon.
Rightfully so.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.